discouraged and lost family on the field, lost children on the field, and came in and they were so discouraged. They weren't sure which way was up anymore. And the Lord over the years has just really put on our hearts to be here for people, to love people where they're at as they are, and to help them forward in their reconciliation with Him in some cases, or just in their continued life and progress with Him. And we've just sought to honor Him in doing that. And so we've had a lot of people just really out in kind of some extreme situations. And it's been our honor to serve God by doing everything we could that He would have us to do to minister to those folks. But that being the case, some of those folks are just kind of on the bubble, so to speak. And not all of them made it. And we've been amazed at times at some of the people that at one point came in and thrived and did well, but at some point they became distracted, let some things slip, and began to give themselves more to religion than they did faith. And they started applying the word in a critical sense to everybody else around them, but grace to themselves. That's always religion. If we've got a double standard, we really need to, what is it that they, was it Charles Capps used to say it, or maybe it was Wet Water Walkers, who was that from Louisiana? Albert Willis. Need a checkup from the neck up. There's times we need one, and maybe a little bit deeper down into the heart, in fact, because it's so dangerous to just kind of shoot from the hip in these last days. And, you know, we've seen folks die early, more than I can count anymore, die early because they got out of the will of God. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I asked the Lord the other day, I said, you know, why is that? Because we have seen an inordinate amount of people do that. Lord, and it's nothing that we prayed on them. It's nothing that God inflicted on them either. I want to tell you, it wasn't. God didn't get mad because they left Pastor Mike, or Pastor Mike cursed them. And I mean, we had somebody one time tell some members after they'd left that lightning hadn't struck them yet. Well, we weren't praying for lightning. We were praying lightning wouldn't strike them, you know, because we were worried about them putting themselves in jeopardy by doing what they wanted instead of what God wanted. And I knew when they left, I spoke by the Spirit of God, and I warned this individual that they'd never fulfill the call of God on their life if they did this, because they were choosing flesh. Now, I don't say that to everybody leaves. Some people leave, and I say, thank you, Lord. Honestly. Amen. I mean, you can only take so much abuse, and after a while, and we've seen people leave that it wasn't God that they go, but they needed to finally just go because of the havoc they were wreaking. And so, I want you to understand, we don't wish this on anyone. And in that case, unfortunately, that person didn't fulfill the plan of God on their life. They got sidetracked and they got off, and they never really got quite restored in such a way that they shut the door on the devil, and he took advantage of that, unfortunately. But I want to assure you, it's not God doing that to people. And our only point in referencing that is that these are just such serious hours. And I prayed, I was thinking, the Lord, you know, Lord, why is it that we've seen this? Why have we seen so many? Is it really that critical that people be in the church you put them in? Does it really matter? He said, well, let me ask you this, Mike. He said, did it matter when my people in Corinth inappropriately partook of communion? And in 1 Corinthians 11, you know, we often use that. That's my text for sharing communion. But he was correcting people because they had become self-serving. It was all about what they got out of it. And so they'd go and they'd feast and they'd drink, and some were drunk. And they weren't honoring Jesus. They were gratifying their flesh. And there's a lot of people in a lot of churches today. They're not there to honor Jesus. It's just that's what scratches their itch. That's what tickles their ears. And so that's why they're there. And that's not every other church. Amen. I mean, there could be somebody come here with the wrong motives too. I mean, we've seen that on occasion. They don't usually stick around, but we have seen them come with the wrong motive. It's just such a serious hour, and the Lord was showing me that in the case of 1 Corinthians 11, there were people that died, there were people that were sick because they failed to observe communion properly. They didn't do it with a reverent spirit. They did it with a self-serving spirit. They weren't there to honor God by serving others. They were there for what they got out of it. And, you know, we've seen that in the church as well over the years where people got mad because they're going to make changes and those changes are to reach the lost, but what about me? Well, we want people to be a part of reaching the lost. We want to be where the grace of God is, because it will make it so much easier and more rewarding for you to live a life that will honor Him as we move forward in His plan for our lives. Amen. And again, I just want to reassure you, we're not saying, we never once have we ever prayed, God, take somebody's life. It's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have prayed many a time, Lord, spare their life. Have mercy on their, you know, and it's amazing how He has sustained and kept people in spite of some of the things they did that opened the door on the devil. But we see it as God winning. Amen. Praise God. Robin wants to share some things with you, and I may interject. That's just kind of how I am.
I'm sure you're going to interject. We just are wanting to share some things that the Lord, we've been seeking God a lot, and a lot of things have really resonated to us. The Lord has brought information. The Bible says, talks about, if you lack wisdom, ask of me. Anyone can ask of me, and He'll give us wisdom. And so we've been praying for wisdom. I'm so glad He's happy.
Amen.
I really am.
I saw that picture earlier.
This has been a crazy day. We actually several family members that are getting over something crazy.
Obviously a demonic attack.
A full-blown, outright attack where they have to, you know, where they, you know,
got to stay home.
Stand down. I'm trying to say it politely. Stuff didn't stand down. Like something hit their stomach, and the pediatrician's office said that there's been really something major going around, all around Jacksonville and outside. And it hit Mark and Christina last night. It hit Elijah this morning, but supernaturally, Elijah, right after he woke up, and I asked him, you're not going to like put this online, are you?
Right? Yeah, probably.
Please don't.
Especially now.
No. Whenever he woke up.
We'll charge an access fee.
I let him sleep in. Whenever he woke up, because Katie's working at a new job, whenever he woke up, I turned on the light. Elijah, Haley's here. Went to get Haley, you know, trying to get her away from the household.
Trying to get her away from the disease.
Up till 9-something this morning, not being able to sleep because things wouldn't stay down. And so anyway, he went and got Haley and left him food and got out of there as quickly as possible, laid hands on him and prayed for him.
Amen.
And so we turn on the light. Elijah, Haley's here. And he sits up in his bed and he looks around. How you feeling, Elijah? He looked, it wasn't 15 seconds and he lost it. Just right there, just lost it. But that's the only time he did it. And so I consider that
and he's eaten twice
a miracle.
Since then.
And he started getting hungry and started asking for food and asked for more food and asked for more food. You know, and I gave it to him slowly. I said, we're going to wait 45 minutes. We're going to use wisdom here. We don't want to overwhelm your system. Gave him a little bit. And then my timer went off. Can I eat now? He wanted to eat more. And then he wanted to eat again. So anyway,
boy's bottomless.
We would very much cover your prayers. And they wanted us to, I can't think of what that thing's called.
Skype.
They want us to Skype.
Or FaceTime.
I don't know how to do it. Can't do it. Oh, well. So sorry. But just, I'm so not techie. But anyway, the Lord's been bringing things, information to us that has been very helpful. And then the icing on the cake was prayer time. I feel like it was Monday or Tuesday. It's in, you know, we keep a running journal because we like to keep up with things and it kind of helps us keep up with what's going on. But the Lord brought something across our path that was very insightful. And after getting a hold of this information, I have seen that it's real important that we relate to the church scripturally. Because some information that God brought to us from pastors has to do with transition, a church that's in transition or prayerfully, you know, relocation. And I want to say something. I think it's real important to know something. People have felt like, or it has been conveyed to us, not recently, this has been a while back, there was the belief that we are very lighthearted about relocating. Nothing could be further from the truth. It has been grueling emotionally. And what has been hard is we felt like we've needed to put Isaac on the altar. And so,
can I say something? Mm-hmm. I'm the one that introduced this whole issue and have been praying about it for about 16
Molly.
Years.
They're doing so good. Whatever works for you, dear. You can stay.
Anyway, some 16 years ago, the Lord began to impress upon me, and I've had to repent for having moved so slowly. We've seen, you know, one thing that has worked against us a bit is we have seen so many from among our own company, Rhema, and different organizations, not solely Rhema, but so many young ministers that go into an area And they say God brought them there, and they're there, and it would seem because their church isn't instantly 500 or more within 6 months, suddenly God changed his mind and they're gone again. And we've had people come into this community with that kind of a mindset as well. And of course, it always isn't an opportune time when you've got somebody that's a little bit discontent. And so they leave this Rhema church to go to another Rhema church, had a dear friend stand and look me in the eye that had left us on a wrong situation, wrong basis, look me in the eye, said, thank God we finally got a Rhema church in Jacksonville. And he was talking about a church across town. I looked him in the eye, said, we've had a Rhema church. We've had a Word church. And unfortunately, this is an individual that I believe the Lord wanted back here for what they could have derived from this service, and they're no longer walking the planet. You know, I'm just, oh, Lord, I don't want to get stuck on that. Forgive me.
I want to add to that. Let me add to that. Not because they left here. Here's what we have to grasp.
The place called there.
Every one of us have a
provision.
Place called there. You know, the prophet was sent to the brook, and there God sent ravens to feed him daily, and that was his place called there. And every one of us, in the plan of God, every one of us have a destiny. Every one of us have a place called there. And if we're out of our place called there, we can't wonder why the provisions aren't there.
No.
And it's real important. And we've seen people, you know, well, I just wanted to interject that.
Well,
I think it's real important.
You know, I'll be real honest with you. There was a time in my life I'd have thought if God was sending me somewhere, surely it would be the Hilton, you know, or the Marriott, somewhere like that. He wouldn't send me to an old nearly dried up brook and feed me with buzzards. You know, that raven's a plot word for buzzard, by the way. And how many of you have ever seen a buzzard eating anything you wanted? I don't want the buzzard seconds or castaways. But you know what? It's better than starving to death, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they fed him regularly.
They did, amen.
Then the Lord sent him to the widow woman, and that became his place called there.
Yeah.
And something has occurred over time, and what it is we have noticed and been aware, and I mean, gee, it doesn't take a genius. Let's just look over here and let's look over here. We have noticed a decline. And even though we don't like, I've just noticed some things. As faith people don't like to talk about stuff that's negative. But listen, there are things that appear negative. You know, a seed, when you put it in the ground, doesn't look like much. But when that oak tree grows up, it's powerful. And the Bible talks about trees that the birds can rest in its limbs, you know, and what have you. So we have to interpret.
Seed.
We've got to scripturally interpret things. And so we've noted over a couple of years, we've noticed a decline and have had a lot of questions about it. We've spoke with several pastors we greatly respect with regards to it. And what has bothered us is we God has had to renew our mind. We have to scripturally interpret things. And so some things that began coming out in some more recent information that the Lord brought us to is that first, as church members, we have to rightly interpret what the church is. And this came out with scripture. There's scriptures to back it up in the New Testament. The church is not a building. The church is a living organism of people who believe.
Born again.
Who have received Christ, who are filled with His Spirit, who have a task they want to that God has called them to do. Very often we have a real pressing desire to do something for God, and that's frustrated until we begin to pinpoint the gifts, the natural gifts God's placed on the inside of us. And as we begin doing that, things begin unfolding. But here's something that's real important. This was real pertinent information. I began reading something that the Lord brought to us. And as I began reading, it's like, they're talking about us. They're talking about us. That happened. Yep, they got mad. Just like that. Sure did. You know, and I'm just going through it. And do you understand whenever something comes, when the Lord brings something to us, it resonates with us because what we're reading is like, yes. It's like this is reading our mail here. And so the Lord began using it. And what God began bringing out is some real important information that has to do with what occurs whenever communities shift. There are times that communities change, and what this began talking about. Now, I was born and I was raised on the north side of Jacksonville. I remember when there was a Grants in Highland Square. I remember mom going grocery shopping there. I remember breaking a jar of jelly because I was looking and lusting at the grape jelly when I was 5 years old. I just remember a lot of old things. I have a lot of old pictures in my mind of Highlands, the Highlands area. But what these pastors have found and discovered is that neighborhoods have lifespans like people have lifespans. And to be very careful, I want to be heard. It doesn't mean neighborhoods die. It means they change.
Transition.
It means they transition to something they were not 40 years ago, 25, 30, 35, 40 years ago. And it's interesting. I don't know how many of you, and I'm just crazy curious. I mean, I know off the top of my head, I actually started doing some numbers. How many of you either grew up or used to live on the north side of Jacksonville? Highlands, Garden City, you know, that kind of. Okay. And there's a few more. There's a few more. And this article from pastors, from different contributing pastors, talked about how whenever you have members who were in the community and who have relocated further out of the community, these are some heads up. There are road signs that give us an idea that things are shifting. Now, here's what's real important to understand. Just because a community changes, transitions to something it didn't used to be, does not mean that we do not still care for the people in that community. Because serving God, when we are surrendered to God, it does not matter what color your skin is, it does not matter where you have come from, we cannot help but place high value on your soul. And we have a love and a passion, and we're God, you know, only God can do that, because in the world there's a tendency to separate based on common interests and what have you. But what they began sharing that made a whole lot of sense is they said, if you have come from a rural upbringing and you come to the city, you move to the city and you go visit a church, and instead of them having music with a country flair like perhaps you grew up with, they have rock and roll worship. And then on top of it, you get out of your car and the cars in the parking lot are just in a different, you know, category than your own, either lesser or more so. And they talked about how comfortable would you be. They said, use your imagination. What if you're not born again? And you go into a place and they speak a primarily different language than you speak. They come from a different background and they then want to tell you about Jesus. How likely are you to come back? And this is a reality. We have to acknowledge this is a reality. And what they have done, now there's ways that they have found to bridge the gap, but I thought it was interesting. I don't know if any of y'all have ever, there's a church called Elevate Church, way on the other side of town. They have one church, is it at Oakleaf?
Oakleaf.
We met them several times at several functions over the last year. And Pastor Tim, they're at Oakleaf. They opened a second campus at Fleming Island. They just now opened a third campus, pioneered a third campus. Now the crazy thing is new people are coming into the church, and y'all don't try to read ahead of me. I can feel it. I can feel what you're going to say. Just bear with me. Hang with me. They have such new converts that a very small percentage of the people in the church actually tithe. They haven't been taught to. They're coming into the things of God. They're having to get on some, you know, whatever, Dave Ramsey or financial management programs in order to, you know, be able to be
get free enough
to get to that place. So it's a very small percentage. He did a teaching that we heard that was really good. And he said before they ever pioneered the first church, before they ever launched the first church, they were very drawn. They actually came up and down Dunn Avenue. And they also went out by the airport and really wanted to start something. And he said something else. He said, we really want a 180 center. We have a heart for a 180 center. I've heard this so many times by some larger churches that are denominational, spirit-filled, but denominational, you know, say the same thing, and they don't yet. And I'm just praying and praying and praying. So anyway, Tim said, he said, in retrospect, if we had launched a church on the north side of Jacksonville, they would have chewed us up and spit us out. I know why he said that. We get it. But here's what has occurred. I'm going to give you a snippet of what I remember Highlands in North Jacksonville like. I remember whenever they built Pine Estates Elementary. Highlands Junior High wasn't there yet. I remember when I would go riding on my bike, there were kids everywhere riding bikes. I remember this. I remember, Ray Green Park. You could go to Ray Green Park anytime, and there would be kids there. And you could find somebody it was safe. You could get on the slide sets with them or whatever. I remember whenever Highlands Junior High was nothing but woods and the boys in the neighborhood who were 13, 14 years old would get motorcycles and they would race back and forth. They'd go back and forth and back and forth. And you could hear them. And you'd know, oh, David and Mandy are out. So come on. And you'd go get your friends up your road and you would go to the area so that you could watch them riding their motorcycles back and forth. I remember Christmas time and how much pride people in this community took in their yards. They would have lights. They would have Christmas lights all over the place. They were landscaped. The homes were landscaped. This was important to people. This was like a post-World War II nuclear family community. At that time, it was a new community. It was the rising community, and there were a lot of families who came in and took pride in it. I can remember whenever I went to Garden City Elementary, then they built Pine Estates Elementary whenever I was going into third grade, which was just a few years back. Yeah, right. Anyway, I remember we would have fall festivals, and it was packed. The day of fall festivals, the week, the couple of, you know, several days leading up to fall festivals, you had moms and dads all over the place. You had parents. There were dads that would come in, and they would nail together the frame in no time that was going to frame the booths for the different classes or for the different grades for the fall festival. This has changed. this has changed. The community, this community has transitioned. And here's where the where we have to ask ourselves important questions. And I love the way they put it because it affirmed everything that the Spirit of God has been saying to us. But see, we won't move or do anything unless God confirms to us from His Word. You can prophesy till the cows come home. And I'm so happy if you prophesy till the cows come home. But if it is not in the Word of God where I can act on it, He exalted His Word above His name. So I want to have a Word from God.
Amen.
We value this. If He exalted His Word above His name, then we're going to take the same stance He does. Now, His name is all-powerful too. But anyway, they began bringing out that you have to ask yourself an important question. What is your church's mission? And I'm seriously curious. Does anybody here have an idea what our mission is, or have thoughts about what you believe or would like? Do you understand what I'm saying? Did anybody have any thoughts? Yeah, Vic's back there going a little bit. You may know him. May know him. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now here's something that's real important, and I want to go to it. These pastors say something that's really interesting. They say a church like ours can reach folks like us. Now, this is important, though. And I began seeing what they were sharing and how they're sharing a spiritual law. Now, here's something else that really ministered to me. They began bringing out that there are resistant subcultures in every community. Let's back it down. There are those who don't have an opinion one way or the other. Then there are slightly resistant subgroups, and then there are highly resistant subgroups. What has occurred where we're at is the community has transitioned to people, because here's what we do. We look at each other. We look at the things that we value, our values. We look at the things we like to do with our spare time. And we look at the community we're in and we say, do I see people like this in this community? And I'm not. We're not seeing people that are reflecting. And it's not because we're...
Can I say something real quick? We are seeing them in the church. We want you to understand, we're not, what we're seeing is so many people in the church already are in outlying areas.
Yes.
You understand? So it's not an indictment of the community that we're talking
about. It's just
a reality of what we're seeing.
Well, what has occurred, and the reason this is important, whether or not, I want there to be, the Lord has ministered hope to us in the information that He's brought to us, because it's made things make sense. I want to read a statement from this that sheds some light. Who here has ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? I have. I love it. It's one of our favorite movies. That was a real good illustration of how people from a subculture group, I'm not trying to use weird words here, but that was how a subculture gravitates to each other. They want to save the roots that they've come
preserve
the roots. They value like interests. They value like classes. Remember, they're Greek. She had to learn Greek from the time she was in elementary school, and stuff like that. And so there were things that they valued, and whenever they came together, and they were automatically drawn together by shared interests or shared
commonalities.
Now I got to tell you, and I'm going to jump way ahead right now. Here's where I see the power of small groups. When a church begins to implement small groups, you are creating the ability to draw a subculture into a church, any church, anywhere. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but let me go ahead and say, this is a statement they made. This pastor said, let me say it plainly, it's not the color that makes the difference, it's the culture. Colors can blend when cultures are similar, but how many times have you been around people who were of the same color as you, but whom were a different kind or class of people, and you felt terribly out of place? I've been there. I know exactly how that feels. Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, made a statement that's you know, worth hearing, and it's true, it's worthwhile. The church that claims to reach everyone is only fooling themselves. No style of church can possibly reach everyone. Take a close look and you'll find that every church has a culture. This culture is determined by the predominant kind of people who make up the congregation. Whoever your church has right now is who you're likely to attract more of, whether you like it or not. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's important because what's occurring is we're seeing that there are limitations in the natural without bridging the gap. So why are we bringing this up? You know, you may want to know why we're bringing this up, because this is real important. This answered questions for us as to why we've had outreaches. We spearheaded a lot of outreaches with our cold coat giveaways, endeavoring to build relationships with some other things that we did around the holidays. And I don't regret doing a one of them. I believe we planted seeds. I still want to plant seeds. I think there are times you will plant seeds, and because one plants and another waters, but God gives the increase. But it is real important, because what they bring out in it, within these pastors, is that we need to focus on our greatest gifts, because instead of trying to pretend we're something that we're not, number one, it's disingenuous. And Lord, we're so incapable of being disingenuous. You know, we share things real. We teach from where we've crashed and burned in the past, because that's the style of teaching that we have. We don't do good with facades at all. God's working on us. We're a work in progress, you know. And all I'm saying is there are certain types that we are more gifted at reaching. And that's what the Lord told us and began pointing out to us about a year ago. And other pastors' churches that we've gone to different conferences, in Oviedo or in Naples, and they're not all Rhema pastors per se, but here, well, actually those three are. But we've noticed people that come in from their church to help are a lot like they are. They really are. And here's what's important. If we can recognize this, and every bit of this, there are scriptures that play into this and that have to do with these principles that I'm sharing. Jesus was the one, it wasn't just Paul. Jesus said, if you're not received in a city, there, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next. He never said you quit being. He never said quit reaching. He never said quit
He never
fishing.
Said sit there and pray that people will come in.
He didn't. And there are some, this was 80 pages that very much significant parts of it really ministered to us, and was again affirmation of things that we've seen and have had a difficult time putting into words. We've tried very hard. We've wanted to make things and communicate as clearly as possible. Here's the crazy thing that's been going on. We have been getting more and more and more of a passion for seeing the lost saved. Now, I'm going to talk on a personal level here for a moment. Easter, you know, thanking God, praying for different ones. Did y'all see how many visitors were here? Yeah, I did too.
I saw how many members were here.
Yeah. And here's the thing, which our next offering, the church gives tithe off of income that comes in the church. Next one's going to Church of the Highlands. This Easter, they had over 11,000 people give their lives to Christ. And my heart just starts beating faster. And when I heard it, I threw my hands up and I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that 11,000 people are no longer going to hell. They're heaven bound.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that you were able to reach them. But see, here's the thing. God planted them where they're at, supernaturally led them. And we need to be where we have that supernatural love for the for the people, for the community. We love y'all. We don't have any trouble loving y'all, just to be very clear. But here's the thing. We've been asking God, Lord, we're thanking you because this is growing and growing and growing, and we're no longer satisfied. We're like, we need to get some people. Should we go, do we need to do some street witnessing? Because
you know
we
what?
Have just got such an appetite that has been stirred up by the Spirit of God.
I'm just going to be real blunt here. We are so interested in seeing people reach for God that I put everything on the altar. If mm-hmm. I never minister another message, mm-hmm. I'm willing to step down. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's what God wants me to do, but I'm willing to, and
right.
I've made that known to the Lord.
Right.
As far as just bringing in another pastor, we've prayed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Have not had liberty to do that.
Mm-mm.
And just, you know, we believe this. We believe that even as we've been affected, that some of y'all have been experiencing some, and it's been confusing to
yes.
us.
Yes.
That's why we prayed so much and sought information,
mm-hmm.
Is because we've never been this road before.
We've,
and we're surely not running down it. You know, might be pulling a little hair out, I don't know, but
yeah.
we're not running down it gleefully, oh, isn't this fun?
Dear Jesus,
because there's my Lord. There's not a ditch that's been dug for the footing for this building that I wasn't standing in and digging with a shovel. There's not a wall that I haven't driven some nails in. There's not paneling on the wall I haven't touched and put nails in. There's not wiring in this place or lights in this place I didn't have something to do with. I dug the ditch for the power all the way to the pole by myself. Thank God I had a backhoe. I want to clarify that,
yes.
you know. But there's nothing much. I've put shingles on this roof. I put plywood in the attic. I put insulation on the walls. Some rooms I put the paneling up twice because the first time I put it up, it mildewed, and we had to go in and make some changes. You know, so there's and we've got family that gave their lives because they believed in what God had called this church to do as a mission. Robin's mama, she wasn't willing to let it continue to be engulfed in sin and carnality, and she had to take a stand that cost her her marriage. And ultimately, the stress of all that, I believe, is one reason she ended up.
I'll be a little bit more specific than that, so that people would not be harmed that were physically
yes.
being harmed. You know,
yes.
they shouldn't have been.
Absolutely. So my point is this, you know, this is something that we are endeavoring and we're seeking God about to do for everyone, not to everyone. You know, just simply put, and we're wanting to hear from God. And I'll be real honest with you. I don't know anything other than what God has told us to do thus far in terms of
mm-hmm.
putting the church on the market, which we've
right.
done.
Right.
If he told us to take down the sign tomorrow, we're willing to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
If he told us that somebody else could come in here and reach this community, mm-hmm. whereas we can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll pray about working with them. We'll
right.
do whatever we can do
yep.
to further the plan of God.
Right.
In this place and
the body of Christ, God, Jesus paid a high price for the body of Christ for believers. He has the greatest vested interest. He also is the Lord of all. He's
Amen.
The one who gets to tell us what to do, you know, and we know that, but it's real important for us to recognize that a body of believers, and listen, guys, we're talking about the sky's the limit. We've contemplated going to home groups, home church, if we need to during a season of transition. We've started trying to contemplate, what are they called, community centers and neighborhoods, if they've got several rooms. Here's one of the things. I don't know how else to say this, so I'm trying to say things, you know.
Trying to say so much and
so
such
much
a little.
So much and so little.
Yeah.
The Lord has taken us through a process, renewing our minds. In years gone by, we have lived in people have treated us horribly, in
I've
retrospect.
I've had my face spit on.
He has. And you know what?
And didn't punch him,
over
though
time,
I felt like it.
Over time, and listen to me. Every one of us live in the world, but this wasn't unsaved. These were tongue-talking people
mm-hmm.
that we had a lot of major persecution, you know, come against us. I don't want to glorify that, though. There's something real important that I want to get to here. The Lord has taken us, we can see, through a process. We're wanting to write several books. The Lord, things that need to be shared to help equip people and help them deal with stuff. And here's what God's done. Over the process of time, how many of us know a person who's abused should not be abused? How many here just know that? I'm not kidding. Okay. The same goes for the gifts. The same goes for those who are called. I'm saying for ourselves, I'm saying as a body at large, we need to place value on the things that God placed value on. I have had this conversation with God. This is the conversation I've had with God, pouring out my heart here. I said, God, we are, and more than once, we are willing to do anything you want us to do. We are willing to go anywhere you want us to go. We are willing to reach whoever you want us to reach. So help me, God, if we get to heaven and we find out there were people you wanted to use our lives to reach for heaven and they're not there because you didn't make it plain, it's on you. And I will remind you for eternity. Now, I don't mean that disrespectfully. You have to hear my heart. I'm saying it with the utmost of respect. I know that He is my Savior, but this has been going through a process and having such a heart. We have got a heart. There are people that are so close to hell right now. There are people that are living in hell right now. And God, we don't want to just have a church for believers. We want to have a church that reaches the lost.
We want a
God has called us
to
be
lost.
Fishers of men, not just to pat clean fish on the back and put some stuffing in them. You know, God has called us to a purpose. And here's something that the Lord began showing us. The gifts that He's placed in us are of great value. Listen to me, you need to understand. I'm not saying we're perfect. The day I die, I will still not be perfect. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But the gifts that God has placed on the inside of us and the inside of every one of you is of great value in God's sight. The blood of His Son was shed to place a gift on the inside of you and me and you and you and you and you and you and you, every one of us. We need to continue thanking God for helping us to be where we're not. See, here's the bottom line is the community that we're in has transitioned not only into a slightly different subculture people group, and I'm not talking about skin color. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. This community has shifted. There's been a trans, there's a subculture that isn't just ignorant or a little resistant, it is a highly resistant. It fits all the earmarks of highly resistant. Does that mean we wash our hands of them? No. And also, here's one other thing. They said the question can be asked, how come the church is supposed to be of such influence, but instead it's the world around the church that is influencing the church? Because there are different ways to reach different people. And a church reached, we reached y'all on some level. You're here because something resonated with you. And here's the thing. There are people that are not yet born again around us, and they're going to have to hear it from someone that is from their subculture. Now, that doesn't mean, I believe that God still wants us to be a part of that. I don't know on what level. I don't know, because the Lord has been burning things in us that have just been real surprising, that we've not dreamed big enough, that He doesn't just want us to have our hand on one work, that He's got several things He wants done, several areas. We still have a heart for a dream center. My God, this city needs a dream center. We got kids going to hell in handbaskets. We got children raising children. We got kids, absolutely, that are killing each other, that aren't even being raised. They're raising themselves. You can drive down Dunn Avenue, and you can see graffiti from gangs. And I wish Mark were here, but he was talking about this is one of the main areas. Did you know this is one of the main gang, highest gang ratio in this community?
Highest density gang, yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that we don't want to pray, but here's what we do want to do. We have to evaluate, are our gifts being used and are they being multiplied? Gifts are supposed to be multiplied. Gifts are supposed to go out and they're supposed to impact others and raise up others. Each one of us are capable of raising up people with similar gifts to our own. But here's the thing, if we're not being received, you're not being received. You know, we endeavor to have classes. We endeavor to have different small groups. But from this immediate community, if they're not relating to, and that doesn't mean they can't relate to someone. That doesn't mean they can't relate to someone. And we still want to see that accomplished. But there are times that you go where you can build a strong base, because we still have a heart for a dream center. Most of the churches we've seen, most of the dream centers we are aware of, there's one in Arizona, there's one in California, there's one in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The way they were raised up was one very strong, stable church spearheaded it and then began to gather other churches into being a part of it. Because Dream Centers, you may not even know, Dream Centers have lawyers come in and give free advice to single moms. You know, they have
dentistry, they have medical, they have vocational training, they have housing for homeless.
Yes.
And in L.A., they just opened a new wing. They bought a hospital.
Yeah.
Matthew Barnett, Tommy Barnett's son, they bought a hospital, and they bought it for little or nothing, and it's now valued at I forgot how many, like 50-something, 60-something million dollars, maybe 100, I don't know, some huge amount, but they opened a wing. They could have sold it for a profit, but they opened a wing to veterans, homeless veterans. They're doing things for people that are on government that should be doing it, isn't doing, and you know, we love there. I want to say something. If we move tomorrow, there's a bit of our heart that's always going to be in Dunn Avenue. I don't mean if God moved us to the airport tomorrow, there's always going to be a bit of our heart invested in Dunn Avenue. We want to see people saved here. I don't care what color they are. I'll say this too. You know, we've wondered over the years, why is it that we've not been able, because I'm not prejudiced. Now I've been raised white, predominantly white parents. But I've never been taught to hate anybody for their skin color. Thank God. Now, have I ever said things that might be offensive? Probably so, but not intentionally. And I'm willing to be corrected because I don't want to communicate something in error that I don't believe or I don't feel. You know, the blood of Jesus was shed for the blackest man as much as it was for the whitest man. And so color doesn't faze me. But, you know, over the years, we've noticed on occasion there are times that folks have left us. And we'd later hear things that they expressed that were, it kind of gave us some insight. Why do people not feel comfortable here? Yes. By the prejudice that was expressed.
Well, and remember the statement that I made about how a church like us is going to attract people like us. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing unscriptural about that. There's nothing detrimental about that. The reality is, until we grow larger and until we are able to spearhead small groups, because essentially this is what the way that a church that in the natural is showing decline turns around is whenever someone of the subculture is brought into the area, because they're not going to receive from us. There are some people who aren't going to receive from you. Some of us are standing for family members. It's okay. They don't want to listen to you. But we need to be praying and releasing laborers across their path who they can receive from. And so what usually occurs is when churches relocate, they do so to have a stronger foundation and greater strength in order to minister to more other subgroups. Now, I want to say, this is the last thing I want to say, because I want to read something.
Well, I'd kind of like for us, if we need to continue this Sunday, and because I'd like other folks to know as well,
we'd be jumping in halfway. Can I share this?
Yeah, go ahead. Hurry.
Okay.
I know that we've been out of time for a while.
Well,
and
prayer
so
time.
Usually I've got somebody that lets me.
We're continuing to thank the Lord that He's showing us where, what, how. We're open to His wisdom. And the Lord, whenever we were in prayer time, it was Monday or Tuesday, the Lord brought the passage to us about God intended it for good. And what that passage is from is from Genesis 50, verse 20. And it's where Joseph's brothers, their dad had passed away, and they said, oh, Joseph's going to have us now. Dad's gone, and he's going to get us for the evil we did to him. And they went to him and said, we are here to be your slaves. They bowed before him. Joseph replied to him, this is NIV, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And the Lord stopped me, and he told me to reread that. There's been some, you know, awful things or very bad treatment and stuff like that that we've gone through, but I began seeing something, and this applies to every one of you. Whenever we have gone through really bad treatment, God still has the capacity, if we are wholly surrendered to him, to redeem it. And he can use the ugly stuff and the bad stuff to get us right and to springboard us more quickly into the center of his will for our lives. Now, I want to tell you something about some statistics. Some things that we learn through GROW. It's called Church Metrics. It's where you keep up with different areas of class sizes, whatever, what have you. We just did a review of the last quarter of 2015 and the first quarter of 2016. And to be honest, I really didn't want to do it because, you know, like I know, none of us are stupid. Some people have left.
Some had been major supporters.
Yeah. And so I really didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see the numbers and what have you. Much to our surprise, whenever we began doing some comparisons, what you do is you pull comparisons from quarters. We did a comparison first, you know, we reviewed the last quarter, then we reviewed the first quarter of this year, then you compared the first quarter of this year with the first quarter of last year. And the difference in the regular support that comes in was only $20 a week. Was only a difference of $20 a week. Okay, now I want to make, here's where the rubber meets the road, and I hope this will make sense. What that means is there was around $1,700 a month that quit coming in. But guess what? It means that the 15 families who support the church, one doesn't live here, the 15 families who support the church have had an increase to the tune, if anybody's got a calculator, whip out your calculator, because here's the point you want it. If you will take the number, round it down, pull it down a little bit, 16,000 divided by 15 families, what this means is those who are receiving, those who have not unhooked, those who are supporting, and even though I know all of us are going, we don't like change. I don't like change either, but I do want to reach more souls. And I think we all want to reach more souls. That's the bottom line. We're willing to make ourselves uncomfortable. So figure out 16,000 divided by 15 families. That's where you see that the hand of God. God said in Deuteronomy, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And what this means, whenever we saw those numbers, I said, God, this is a miracle. This is a huge miracle. Does it mean it's been easy? No. Does it mean none of us are struggling? Heck no. There have been some major struggles. There have been some major bottlenecks that we've had to stand and speak and stand and speak and stand and speak the word and stand and speak the word. And you're going to have to do the same exact thing in your bottlenecks. But I want to tell you something. I began thanking God. I said, God, this is a miracle. You are taking care of us, even when some people have left and don't want anything to do with the vision that we've seen of endeavoring to get things polished better and some practical areas polished better to reach more lost. And I said this, God, thank you that you're with us. And then I said, no. Apparently, we're with you. We're with you. We're not trying to get God in on our plan. We want to be in the center of his plan. We want to be right where he is. And for God, God does not support something that he's not in. And the only reason I'm bringing this out is for those who give, for those who support, for those, and you know who you are. there has been a noticeable increase, and it's funny, I shared this with Mark. I wanted our youth pastor Mark to know this because he's the one who shares exhortations from the Word of God. And of course, it doesn't mean across the board every person's had exactly that kind of an increase, but something's increased. Something's increased within those who are here and those who have, you have had the courage to stick with us. And I wanted to let you know, I think it's real important to know this. I want you to know we're standing. We know some have been hit really hard, and we're standing and we're speaking God's provision, supernatural provision.
Amen. I want to make one quick just observation, and that is this. We're talking about reaching the lost. We want to reach the lost. We believe in making it better for you. We'll more effectively reach the lost. This isn't jumping over you.
No.
You're not a means to an end in terms of, you know, you're irrelevant. We just need you to, you know, suck it up.
We're seeing where your gifts have been passed over because of not being where your gifts are seen and recognized and shine the brightest. Every one of us have gifts. What am I doing? It was God's. But we want to be where we're not in a highly resistant subculture group. That doesn't mean we're not coming back. That doesn't mean we're not going to plant something here. You know, we're listening to God.
We believe this ministry is good ground.
It is good ground.
It's excellent ground.
Clearly it's divine ground. We do.
Because
we do. We absolutely do. So there may be things that we threw out kind of fast, not trying to be confusing at all. You're welcome to ask anything if you want to one-on-one. We want to let y'all go. We didn't want to take this long. I don't know if we're going to continue this Sunday or not. That's going to be your call.
We'll see. And if you have any questions, that might be an opportunity then even to address them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I mean, we could continue it Sunday. And if you want us to answer some questions, send us the questions, or you're trying to understand something or get a handle on something.
If you need an envelope, you'll hold your hand up.
Yep. We are. Yes, he is. Wendy?
Yeah.